Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we believe that all things are possible because you are here. And knowing, Father, that you came down with a shout in this hour, knowing that we are somewhere in the midst of that shout, getting close to the voice of the resurrection. And Father, we know that for a period of time, that resurrection will be, and then there'll be the catching away, the shout, the voice, and the trumpet. And we're here, Father, this day to study that which you have for us in this hour, the great shout. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this is number 48 in our series, and I've entitled this, All Scripture Must Be Fulfilled in the Voice. And we're still in the spoken word as the original seed. Now, this morning I would like to continue in this study and read from paragraph 35 where Brother Branham said, Jesus said the Scriptures must be fulfilled. That is, that all that's been written in the Scriptures. Now, bear this in mind, because you who are getting the tape now, and at the end of the tape, you'll find that I come back to that again, that all Scriptures, all that's in the Scripture must be fulfilled. Now, let that soak in for a minute. All that's in the Scripture has got to be fulfilled. Then if God said anything, then there you are. It's got to be fulfilled. Or if it isn't, then that's not the Word of God. Then if that isn't the Word of God, then where are we at? Let's just get something that looks like God, or anything that we want to do. As the Bible said, just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So you see, we have a prophet who in this hour and has spoken many things, and we understand that as we brought out Wednesday night in our service, that we brought out the things that are happening right now, the financial condition of the world that's happening right now was prophesied by the prophet back, 35, 38 years ago. He told us exactly what would take place. So now remember, part one of our study concerned the shout of 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15 to 18, which shout Brother Brown taught us is the message. And this morning I'd like to continue on our mini-series showing that the next thing for the bride is the voice, which is the resurrection of the sleeping saints. For starters, we began by examining the chronology of 1 Thessalonians 4 in order to know what must take place in this age. And we did that last week, so we're not going to cover that again. But 1 Thessalonians 4:13, we're going to read again, where Paul says, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain under the parousia of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Now before we go on to the second part of this, last week when we spoke on the shout, we spoke on about a dozen things that actually had to transpire during the time of the shout. We're not going to get into that today, but if you want to follow that up, that's in last week's message. You can get that off the website. But we see here in these verses that Paul is speaking of the presence of the Lord coming down and doing three major things. A shout, which Brother Branham said is the message. The voice, which is the resurrection. And then the trump, which is the calling to the marriage supper. Therefore, we're looking at the parousia ministry of the Holy Spirit doing these three things. In other words, God is present. Brother Branham said the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium. We are not in the millennium yet. If you want to know, anybody that's not stupid. I mean, if you're stupid, you might believe we're in the millennium. But the millennium has earmarks to it. You know, the lion shall lie down with the lamb. There's before the millennium can happen, there's got to be a catching away. There's got to be a glorification of the body. During the millennium, Satan is bound by a chain of circumstances. He can't get to anybody. Well, I don't think the devil's bound right now. So these people who are preaching this kind of stuff are just way out in left field someplace, and they've got motives for doing what they're doing. But now, this voice is the resurrection. That's what Brother Brown taught us in his sermon, The Rapture. The voice is the resurrection. That is what he said. From The Rapture, paragraph 88, he said, the first thing is a shout, and then the voice, and then a trumpet. A shout, a messenger getting the people ready. The second is a voice of the resurrection. The same voice, a loud voice, in St. John 11:38 and 44, that called Lazarus from the grave, getting the bride ready, and then the resurrection of the dead. See? To be caught up together with it. Now watch these three things take place. Now, I want to just stop here, and I'm going to deviate from my notes for just a second. But Brother Branham, notice he says, the same voice that called Lazarus from the grave. All right? He says, this same voice gets the bride together and then the resurrection of the dead. Now, what voice called Lazarus from the grave? Was it the Son of God? No. Brother Branham said the Son of God wept. He said that was the man. But he said when he said, Lazarus come forth, he said that was more than a man. That was God in the man. So you see, it's God himself descends with a shout. It's not the Lamb. It's not the Son of God that descends with a shout. It's God himself. We go to meet the Son in the air. You see? So the same God that is here getting the bride together is the same God that brings forth the resurrection of the dead. The same voice. All right? Now, there are basically two things that will occur then at the time of the resurrection. Now, there's more than that, but just they fall into two categories. Number one, the category of the world. The world will go into tribulation, and the foolish virgin will be hunted down and slaughtered. And all who do not take the mark of the beast will suffer a great boycott and will not be able to buy or sell. Now, I do not wish to say too much about this because, after all, this is not for the elect. All right? And I do not like to focus on anything outside of what is for the elect, as that is a pattern which William Branham followed. Now, he did not say much, and therefore I cannot say much about what will come upon the earth during this time. However, we know that the Wall Street Jews own the paper. We know that the Catholic Church has the gold. And when the paper is cheap enough, she will buy it up and back it with her gold. Then she owns it all. And if you do not belong to her, and Brother Branham said this, we went over this Wednesday night, he said this will take place when the Catholic Church, the Vatican, makes its pact with the Jews. He said that'll take place during the tribulation. He said we'll be gone at that time. So if you're looking for some secret meeting to be going on right now, I doubt it. I mean, there may be meetings to prep it, but there's no meeting to actually turn it over at this point. But notice then, he said, then she owns it all. Because if she's got all the stock, she's the owner of the companies. So you think you'd have a job during the tribulation? I don't think so. I think you won't have a job unless you take the mark of the beast. And if you do not belong to her, then you won't even have a job because she'll own the wealth of the world. So that means she's gotten the world's wealth and she owns it. And the Bible speaks of a boycott. You won't be able to buy or sell unless you have that mark. Now, for more information on this, you can see the study that we preached on Wednesday night or the one on our website, which I actually preached on 10 years ago, called The End Time Depression Judgment. And last Wednesday, we actually took the first 8 pages from that. But it was very timely. We added some things Wednesday night that we didn't have 10 years ago, of course, but it's very timely. As I read here the other night, we have this article here says the U.S. will never be able to pay off its debt. They never will. $10.3 trillion, and they want to add a trillion to that. Just the interest alone, they'll never be able to pay it off. I don't know what the interest is, but that's, you know, if you just take 1 or 2%, it's got to be in the billions, in the tens of billions of dollars. So we're talking about the U.S. cannot, they'll never be able to pay it off. Now, what I wish to cover this morning, then, is what happens to the elect. Because that is what we are by God's grace. We are His elect. And that is what our focus should be on. Not what's going to happen to the world. That'll get you pretty down. You got to have your focus on what He's got for you. You see. Now, number one, therefore, this morning, we'll look at the time of the resurrection, which is the voice of 1 Thessalonians 4. Now, the resurrection is not something that takes place in a moment or twinkling of an eye. That's the body change. That's the body change. The resurrection will consist of a period of time. Brother Branham alluded to a time between 40 and 70 days that the event of the resurrection will take place. Notice from letting off the pressure, he said, can't you see where we're at the end time? It's all over. The next thing will be a sweep of getting that little group together, and in a month or so, she'll be gone as soon as she's gathered together. We're at the end time. There's no hope left anywhere. Run to Christ, people. Now, another place, Brother Branham said, I'd like to have that tent for 6 weeks. And he also let us know that tent was for the time of resurrection. He said, watch the resurrection in there. So, not knowing if it's a tent or auditorium or whatever it is, but there's a gathering of the elect at that time. Now, this, what Brother Branham says here, the next thing will be a sweep of getting that little group together. In a month or so, she'll be gone as soon as she's gathered together. Now, this is scriptural, for we see the same thing took place in the Alpha ministry of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 27, verse 45, we read, now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard it, said, this man calls for Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, and put on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Now Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks did rent. And the graves were opened, notice, and many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose, comma. So when he cried with that loud voice, and in 1 Thessalonians 4, there's a loud voice, there's a shout first and a loud voice, there's a distinction between the two. Brother Branham said the shout is a message. The loud voice, he said, is the resurrection. Notice, and came out of the grave after his resurrection. So there's a comma splitting 3 days between when he cried on the cross and when he came up. And they went into the city, the holy city, and they appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Now I believe it is in the book of Acts, it talks about at least 500 witnesses to this. 500 witnesses to these people having appeared. And now, we know that the day of Pentecost did not take place until 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. So he was with the saints during that time. And we know very little about the period of time from Scripture. But we know that when Jesus led captivity captive, he took the dead saints up in a rapture. So there was a period of time of 50 days. Those people were mingling together. The Scripture doesn't talk much about it, but we read from the rapture tape, Brother Branham said. David said over there, lift ye up, ye everlasting gates, and be ye lifted up. He led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. When the Old Testament saints went in with him, they said, who is this King of righteousness, the Lord of glory, a mighty host? Here they come in, marching, and Jesus led them led captivity captive. And here he comes with the Old Testament saints, and went into the new gate up there, and he said, lift up ye everlasting gates, and be ye lifted up, and let the King of glory come in. The voice come from the inside said, who is the King of glory, and the Lord mighty in battle? The gates flew open, and Jesus the conqueror led captivity captive, them that had believed on him, and the word had come to them. There the Old Testament saints, laying in their waiting, he led captivity captive, ascended on high, took the Old Testament saints, and went in. There's one rapture already passed. The next rapture takes place, the Second Thessalonians, for the church, the bride, to be resurrected, to be raptured into glory. We which are alive and remain, that's the body that's left on earth, will not prevent or hinder them which are asleep, for the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, see, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Now we'll see Brother Branham speak of the condition of the living and that of those saints which are asleep in the graves, and what will happen to each in order for them to be in the rapture or the catching away. He says from his sermon, who is this Melchizedek? Brother Branham says, he reads from 2 Thessalonians, and he tells us, 1 Thessalonians 4, he says, for we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them, that means to hinder them, those which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Perfect, all of these types. Therefore, the theophany, if you have died and entered into that theophany, what happens? The theophany comes to the earth to pick up a redeemed body. And if you are here in the air, and you take then you take the body to meet the theophany. There you are, and caught up, and go to meet the Lord in the air. From his sermon, Life, Brother Bram said, and then when we die from this life, we go into a body, which if the earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have a theophany to go into a body celestial. You know, in the Scripture, Paul talks about bodies terrestrial, bodies celestial. Brother Branham said, when we leave here, we go to that body celestial. He said, that's our theophany. Then at the coming of the Lord Jesus, this body is picked up from the earth again and made in a glorified state to live in His presence forever. Then all the perversion, all the things that was in the perversion, all goes out of existence. Flesh goes to its punishment. Hell opens her mouth and swallows in all the evil and the perversion. And God and His beloved church, His bride, take their stand for the eternities to roll on. That's the great hope of the Christian church. So we should get our focus at this time, not on the economy, not on what's going on, but we should get our focus on going home. Therefore, instead of our focus on the condition of the world, as we see its financial kingdoms are crumbling all around us, our focus should be on God's promise for us in the hour that we live in. Now, He said, if you are among those who have already died, you enter first into this theophany. Then, with that theophany, you come forth to get your redeemed body. You come back to the earth, you see. And if you have died and entered into that theophany, what happens? The theophany comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body, He says. Then once that redeemed body is joined to the theophany, it becomes a glorified body. All right. On the other hand, those of us who are among the living, who will get our body changed and then go to that theophany to complete the glorification process, He says, and if you're here in the air and you take the body to meet the theophany, there you are, and caught up and go to meet the Lord in the air. So the next thing I would like to share, several quotes from Brother Branham and several scriptures to confirm the order of the resurrection. As Brother Paul declared to us, and as William Branham reconfirmed this order of the resurrection. For if the resurrection will be a period of time more or less, then there must be an order to it. The resurrection just doesn't happen and everyone suddenly appears or disappears and poof, we're gone. There's a period of time. And as a period, there must be an order to the events. From Jehovah Jireh, Brother Bram said, and then remember, if we go before He comes, we will be up and in His presence or raised before the others are changed. So they're up and raised before we get our change. So the order is that they come up first, then we get our change. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Look at the order of the resurrection. See, God knows that we long to see our loved ones. And if we got there to meet him first, we'd be looking around to see if mother or dad and the rest of them was there. But see how the Holy Spirit in His wisdom, we meet one another first. And then when we get there, we sing Amazing Grace. That's when there's going to be a time of worship. So God lets you get it out of your system, whether they made it or not. Once that's out of your system, and you realize that you're in that elected group, you talk about a time of worship. So Brother Branham speaks of the order of the resurrection. You see, God is a God of order, not chaos. He set the world on its frame in an orderly fashion. And that is the way the resurrection and rapture must come. There will be a shout, then a voice, then a trump. Now, from questions and answers, Brother Branham said, across the world, they won't be gathered into one place to have things in common. But little groups of them will be scattered all over the world. I believe maybe, if the Lord permits, this is a little group of it. Maybe another little group in Asia, one down in Germany, one down somewhere else. When I see a vision of the bride the other night, they was made up from the international, see? So the bride won't be gathered from one place, it'll be gathered from all over the world. There's a question that came to Brother Branham. They said, Brother Branham, will the bride be gathered to one place? You know, are we supposed to move to Arizona? He said, get that off your mind. He said, the bride will be gathered to one place, and that one place is Christ. You've got to be in this word. You've got to be in the shout. That's my opposition with the return ministry people. Not that I don't believe Brother Branham won't come back. I believe he will be back. If he doesn't come back, there's no hope for any of us. You see? But the problem is that they're so focused looking down the road, they're failing to recognize the shout. They think Brother Branham has to come and finish his ministry. He doesn't have to come back and finish anything. He didn't talk about finishing anything. He talked about a new ministry. A resurrection ministry. You see, Jesus didn't do the same thing in His resurrection ministry that He did in His pre-resurrection ministry. You see, He went between the lines. He gave them something because, look, I'm going to tell you something. Those saints were a bunch of cowards and they were all hiding. And after that resurrection, after that period of time that He spent with them, they were very, look, they were willing to be crucified upside down. Something changed him, and it was the word that he gave. So I believe that there's going to be a ministry, I do, during the time of the resurrection. I believe there's going to be something that's going to give us that faith to receive a change of the body. Because you've already got faith to have a change of the mind, a change of the heart. It's just going to take you one step further and apply that for a change of the body. Now, from the seven church ages, Brother Branham said, "Behold, he cometh with clouds." Now, let me stop here just a moment. Clouds doesn't mean that he's coming on a big thunderhead, as Mama, bless her heart, she's sitting here somewhere. I remember her voice. She used to sit and tell me, "He's coming on a great big cloud. He's going to raise someday, and God's going to come on it." Now, the cloud that he's coming in, if we just take the time to get this back and get the real background on the whole thing, now the cloud he's coming in is not a cloud like a thunderhead. It's a cloud of glory. He's coming in, see? Now, when Jesus was overshadowed by God in Mount Transfiguration, clouds overshadowed him and his raiment, see? And when Elijah would come down, a cloud come down and received him up. Not a thunderhead, but a cloud of glory. His great presence will strike the earth. See, that's a parousia. His great presence will strike the earth. He cometh with clouds. Oh, I love that, clouds. There'll be wave after wave of his glory will come across the earth, and the resurrection of the saints will come. That blessed Holy Spirit that's lived in their hearts, and they've and they're dried with their corpses laying there and the pierced veins over their cheeks and things like that, and they're placed back in the graveyard, and a great wave of that same Spirit, and wave after wave. He that was last will be first. He that was first will be last. I'm kind of see it that way. That's the order of the resurrection. I won't know nobody in the generation before me or the generation after me. I'll know those in the generation with me. Every generation will come successfully right as it went down. They which were last will be first. Sure, that's me, see? I'll know my people. The next time my dad and his people, my grandfather and his people on down like that, wave after wave after wave after wave, and the saints will rise from everywhere. Won't that be wonderful? Amen. That makes the old people feel young again. Yes. Now notice closely, for I come to you in a cloud, and every eye shall see him, no matter how far back they've died, they'll see him. What's that cloud there? It wasn't a thunderhead. That was a cloud of glory. And he said, wave after wave after wave. You see? Well, there are seven angels made up that cloud. They brought down the doxa of God, the opinion, the assessment, the judgment of God, God's opinion, his shout, you see. And for those people that don't believe the seven seals are opened, all seven, Brother Branham said that God spoke to him, "Thus saith the Lord, go back to Jeffersonville and open up the seven seals." Not six seals, the seven seals. There's 55 quotes where Brother Branham said all seven are open. He said God told him to open seven seals. So if they believe there's only six seals open, then Brother Branham didn't do his job, did he? You think God would have stood there and vindicated the man after that, after disobeying God for not opening that seventh seal? It's open, brother, sister. It might not be revealed to you, but it's open. Because all seven seals were, it was a scroll. It wasn't a book like this. It was a scroll. And as a scroll, it was rolled up. And the seals were on the back side. And you open up one scroll, one seal, that's about as far as you can get that open. Open up two, that's about as far as you can. But until all seven are open, you can't open the book. And the book is this Bible. And it wasn't open until, and Brother Bram said, Christ is those seals. So either Christ is revealed to us or he isn't revealed to us. Well, to those that don't believe it, he's not revealed to them. That's their problem. It's not mine. Now from questions and answers, Brother Bram said, the time of the rapture will be the awakening of the dead and the getting together with the living for the rapture to take place. And Jesus cannot come until a church, a body of believers, and the ministry that he wants will have to be the same as it was then. And then that brings, them without us is not made perfect. Paul said in Hebrews 11, without us they cannot be made perfect. They must have this ministry to raise up the Luther, Wesley, and all of them down through the ages. Now, in reading from 1 Corinthians 15, which Paul speaks of the resurrection, I want you to notice two things. I want you to be looking for two things here. If you'd open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want you to be looking for the order of the resurrection, and I want you to be looking for the need for the body change that is associated with the resurrection. Beginning in verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Well, aren't they saying that today? When they say we're in the millennium, they're saying there is no resurrection of the dead. The same heresies again. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. You see, if we're in the millennium right now, there is no resurrection. So they're preaching the same heresy that was preached in the first church age. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Now listen, if Christ didn't raise from the dead, then God didn't accept his sacrifice. He didn't take it up. You see? Then you're yet in your sins. That's what Paul is saying. Because God didn't accept Cain's sacrifice, but he accepted Abel's. And he took it up in a plume of smoke. All right? Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Now listen, if Christ was the first fruit, he was the first one. You see? First fruits, plural. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For every man in his own order. So Paul's talking about an order of the resurrection. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his parousia. Then cometh the end, when we shall all be delivered up in the kingdom. And he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign, God, till he hath put all things under his feet, the Son of God. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he, God, hath put all things under his, the Son of God's feet. But when he saith unto him, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he, God, is accepted, which did put all things under him, the Son of God. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, the Son of God, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, the God, that put all things under him, the Son of God, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead raise not up? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage to me if the dead raise not up? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupts good manners. Awake to the righteous and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool. That's a good one. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, seed. Well, if it's a seed, then it's not the body that comes up of the seed. It's the life that was in the seed that comes up again. All right? Now, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die, but it comes with another body. It comes with a body. And that which thou sowest, thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, see? Seed. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. See, Paul's talking about a seed. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last man Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which was natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brother, beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, here's a question. When Brother Branham comes back and the saints come back, are they in their glorified body? And the answer is no, not at that moment. They come back to pick up their other body, and then it becomes a glorified body. So we could see Brother Branham on the scene as an older man. We could, until he gets his body changed in the resurrection. I talked to Brother Vail about that. Notice the quotes that I'm giving you from Brother Branham and what Paul says here. Paul says it goes down corruptible, it comes up spirit. It comes up theophany. All right? Then it comes back, as Brother Branham says, to pick up its body. Remember when Jesus died on the cross, many of them that slept in the graves arose, comma, and came out of the grave after their resurrection. So there's two things there. There was a spiritual resurrection take place first, then a physical to follow. In other words, they were called to a gathering. They came, they were quickened by the voice, but came out of the graves, that's their bodies, because the spirit is not in the graves. So it's talking about two things coming together to join in one thing. The theophany with the body coming together. All right, Brother Brown tells us the order of the Holy Spirit, the order of the resurrection. He says, the order of the Holy Spirit, who is now in our midst, will leave the midst of humanity. And when he does, he will take us with him. And then we will meet the Son of God. And when God incarnates His Son once more, then we will crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, from the first seal, Brother Branham said, notice, and when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, then we'll crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, let me find that in Scripture, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 5. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now this may sound a little confusing to you, so let me read it from the Weiss translation. And you'll find that the same thing Brother Branham is telling us here in this quote. That the Holy Ghost, who is now in our midst, will at this time leave the earth. Now from the Weiss translation, he says, do you not remember that while I was still with you, I kept on telling you these things? And now you know with a positive assurance that which, namely, the departure of the church, the saints being assembled to the Lord, is preventing his being disclosed as to his true identity and his strategic appointed time. For the mystery of the aforementioned lawlessness is now operating. Only he, the Holy Spirit, who is holding down the lawlessness, will do so until he goes out from the midst of humanity, and then shall the lawless one be disclosed in his true identity. That's when he goes from Antichrist to the beast. You see, so it's got to be that God is holding back that disclosure. He's holding back all these things because it's not for us. What he has for us is glory, change of the body, young again for eternity. Hallelujah. So we see here that this scripture speaks first of the saints assembling to the Lord, and then it speaks of their departure from the earth. Then as if in the same breath, Paul tells us that this will happen when the Holy Spirit departs from the midst of humanity. Now, the Holy Spirit could not depart from the midst of humanity if He were not here. And if we are to be gathered together with Him first, then where He goes and when He goes, we go with Him. For nowhere in Scripture does it speak contrary to this. Nowhere in Scripture does it speak of the Lord leaving at a different time from the earth than the saints leaving with Him. So if we are gathered together unto Him first, then it is He that takes us up from the midst of humanity, just like He took Peter, James, and John up to the mountain. Hallelujah. I like that. From Mother's Day, Brother Bram said, "And as the light begins to spread, we'll know as we're known. We'll understand and remember. We'll remember our acquaintances and the one that's been there. And there'll be many there that we didn't even think would be there. For you know, it's at that time that I believe that the bread that we have cast upon the human troubled waters will return to us on that day. When we see the effect of our testimony on people that we didn't understand their actions toward it, we'll probably be there. What a day that will be. And when the seeds that we have sowed, not even thinking what they would do, but here they are, they brought forth precious fruits and we'll see them on that day." Hallelujah. For Mother's Day, also paragraph 86, he said, "As that great time begins to spread all, and as we begin to look around and the great circle will be getting greater and greater, it's all just reflecting the approach of Jesus. And after a while, as the song said, and I shall see Jesus at last. We will be waiting, He will be waiting for me, Jesus so kind and true, on His beautiful throne, we'll welcome Him home after this day is through. Then as we see Him, and will not be as we are now, we'll know how to love Him more. We'll not stand back with a little fear because we'll be like Him. He'll be more of a relative to us than He is now." Why is that? Because you'll know for all. You'll know without uncertainty, He's your brother. He is a relative. He's flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone. And God is our Father. Hallelujah. We'll understand Him better because we're so far away in these mortal bodies. Let me read this one more time. We'll not stand back with fear because we'll be like Him. He'll be more of a relative to us than He is now. Hallelujah. We'll understand Him better because we're so far away in these mortal bodies. Then we'll have a body like His glorious body. We'll know how to worship Him. And when we see what the presence of His being has done to us and changed us, the old back young again, all the deformed straightened out, oh, we'll understand then why His power healed us. The questions that's been in our mind, how can He do it? What would this somehow mysteriously, they'd all fade away. The knots that's been tied in the back of our minds, will it be this? How could it be somehow or another? And majestic fingers will just unravel those knots, and it'll all fade into one big crown of love. Amen. From Jehovah Jireh, he said, "And remember, if we go before He comes, He will be up, and we will be up and in His presence, or raised before the others are changed." Before the others are changed. Before you get your change, they will be raised. They'll see us. "The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air." Look at the order of the resurrection. See, God knows that we long to see our loved ones. And if we got there to meet Him first, we'd be looking around to see if mother or dad or the rest of them was there. But see how the Holy Spirit in His wisdom, we meet one another first, and then when we get there, we can sing Amazing Grace. That's when there's going to be a time of worship. I could read that quote every other one, because that's a good one. "When their eyes were open," Brother Bram said, "the time of the gathering of the people is at hand, and we must look forward to great things to happen." From Greater Than Solomon, as here he says, "So I pray that someday I'll see that great uniting together of all the body of Jesus Christ coming together at one great big body. Then the rapture will come." In Matthew 16:28, we read, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom." Now, I want you to notice the promise that He was giving them, because right before that, he said to Peter, he said, "Get thee behind me, Peter." He said, "Get me behind me, Satan." He said, "You don't savor the things of God." Then the very next chapter here, he says, "But there be some standing among us that will not see death until they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom." Now, I want you to notice the promise is that some, not all, but some of you shall not die until they have seen the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Then immediately we see Jesus take some of them, three of them, because three is a witness, to see the scene that He had just told them about. And in Matthew 17, verse 1, he says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart." So he kind of let 6 days go by before he fulfilled what he had just told them 6 days earlier. Now, the word bringeth, where it says he bringeth them up, comes from the Greek word anaphero, which means to carry or lift up to a high place. So we see that it is possible here that these brethren did not just walk up the mountainside following Jesus, behind Jesus, as though he was just leading them. But actually, the combination of these words, taketh and bringeth, suggests a closeness or a gathering together to himself as though embracing them and then lifting them up with him. This would suggest to us then that they were sort of lifted up in some manner, perhaps in some supernatural way, to the top of the mountain. Number two, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Now notice something supernatural was taking place here. Something is happening to the physical being of the Son of God. The Bible tells us that Jesus is transfigured, which means he is being changed into another form. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Now remember, we're talking about the order of the resurrection. He said, some of you shall not die till you see the order of the resurrection. You see the Son of Man coming in his glory, in his kingdom. Then if there is an order of the resurrection, the order must have some meaning to it. Now notice, Moses is first seen, then Elijah. Now, can anyone tell me the difference between these two prophets of God? Well, they both had miracles. They both came with the word. But I'm not speaking of the differences between their ministries, which were full of miraculous. But what happened to Moses at the end? He died. Yes, he did. Did Elijah die? No, he didn't. Notice it speaks of Moses and then Elijah. And notice they are separated by the word and, which is a conjunction. And what does a conjunction do? It links two things, right? And what two things are these two men representing? Remember, we are examining the order of what? The resurrection. Moses then represents the saints who have died. Elijah represents the saints who didn't die, who are caught up without dying. Then what do these three Jews standing there watching represent? I'm talking about Peter, James, and John. What do these Jews represent? They represent the 144,000 that Jesus will return to manifest himself to in his glorified state. The next thing we hear is God the Father of the God the Father of the Son speaking and telling them that he's pleased to dwell in his Son. Verse 4, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, if it is good for us to be here, if thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Now, this was a foreshadow of the parousia of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. These men were given a glimpse of the order of the second coming. Not the parousia, but the second coming. And John was privileged to actually see it take place in a vision before his very eyes years later on the Isle of Patmos. From Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, we read, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. John tells us then how he heard the voice, and he turned to see it. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the paps with a girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance, his face, was as it were the sun shineth in his strength. Now remember, the last time John saw him like this, where his face shone like the sun, was when he had been caught up into the mountain when Jesus was transfigured. Verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid a right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. The last time John was privileged to see Jesus in his glorified condition, he also fell on his face, and Jesus came to him back then and said the same words this time as he said the last time. Fear not. I'm the one who was transfigured before you the first time. I'm the same one now, again, for good this time. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Now from Revelation chapter 4, part 1, Brother Branham said, Peter, James, and John and them standing represent when Jesus spoke to them and said, there's some standing that will not taste of death until they see the Son of Man coming. He didn't say all that was standing there, but some. And they went a few days after that and saw the order of the resurrection rehearsed and the coming of the Lord. Elijah represented the dead saints, I mean Moses, and being resurrected. And Elijah represented the translated saints. But remember, Moses was first and then Elijah. Elijah was to be the messenger of the last day, that with him and his group would come the resurrection. Would come. Well, it would come the rapture, I mean. Moses brought in the resurrection and Elijah brought in the raptured group. And there, both of them was represented right there. So that's from a vindicated prophet saying this. Now, we could skip this next paragraph to save some time, but since we just came through this study, let's just find out what he's going to talk about. In paragraph 184, it says, "Oh, tomorrow we got a great lesson, the Lord willing. Tomorrow we take the judgments, we take the sardine stones, see what it represents, what part it played, and take the jasper, and we take the different stones, and we take these all down through Ezekiel, back to Genesis, back to the Revelation, come down in the middle of the Bible, tie together these different stones and colors and so forth, and then we bring it right straight back to that and see if that ain't right, see? See if it ain't the same color and everything, just the same thing, and the same Holy Spirit, the same God showing the same signs and wonders, same wonders, doing the same thing just as he promised. He told Peter, James, and John and them standing there, all his disciples, and said, some of you will not see death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Saint John said to Peter, what are you going to do with him? Said, what fellow, what's going to happen to him? He said, what is it to you if he sees me coming? And he let him live to see it. After the rest of them was dead and gone, John lived to see the coming of the Lord rehearsed in power, the whole scene set from his time until the judgment was over and the millennium was issued in. John saw every bit of it, the millennium over and the kingdom age started. So he keeps his word, doesn't he? Paul also speaks of this order, the resurrection of 1 Corinthians 15:20. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Now notice that the use of this word first fruit shows there is an order of the resurrection. Christ is the first, then the rest. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. And notice what that order is. Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at his parousia. Now, from questions and answers, Brother Branham said, and then when God's people begin to gather back together, there's unity, there's power. See? And whenever God's people gets together completely, I believe the resurrection will take place then. There'll be a rapturing time when the Holy Spirit begins to gather it up. It'll be in the minority, of course, but there will be a great gathering. I believe that's what's happening right now. I believe we're being gathered together in Christ. We're being gathered together in the doctrine of Christ. You see, because he that has not the doctrine of Christ has not God. All right, from Uniting Time and Sign, he says, we find that now the time comes when the trumpet sounds and those sleeping saints back there that could not be made perfect without us. There's many of those Hebrew brethren, and when they come together, they unite with the living ones, the church uniting with the Word, then the church and the Word uniting together, becoming one, the dead saints with the living saints uniting together to be one and all going together to unite with Christ yonder for the wedding supper of the Lamb. And to think of us standing in a moment in a twinkling of an eye when the world won't know what's going on. But all of a sudden you'll see appear before you your loved ones that's gone on has come to unite with you again and will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Let's get ready. Let's get ready for the midnight cry. It's coming in an hour when you think not. There'll be a cry, not amongst the unbelieving world. It'll be a secret. So those people that believe Brother Brown is going to come back and have a ministry to the unbelieving world, they don't know what they're talking about. It's a secret catching away. You see? Now, how can I overcome, Brother Brown said? Sooner or later, we're going to have to give each other up. But that won't hurt the rapture now, see? No, they come first, then. Them are privileged that's gone on. They come first, see? We which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord will not hinder or prevent those that are asleep. The trumpet of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then when our eyes behold our loved ones, then we'll be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye, and with them shall be caught up together. Hallelujah. From going beyond the camp, Brother Bram said, and you know we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Think of it, missing people. They can't see you no more, but you're getting together with the rest of the group. They can't see you no more, but your getting together with the rest of the group. They which are alive remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder. The word is, those which are asleep, not dead, no Christians don't die. They're just taking a little rest, see? That's all, oh my. And the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, appear to many. And all at once you happen to stand and look, and well, there's a brother, and you know it ain't long. In a few minutes, we'll be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, and together with them be missing on earth, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We got some interesting times ahead of us. That's why I don't fuss too much with these brothers who believe that somehow there's going to be a tent, somehow there's going to be a gathering, somehow even, they think that, as Brother Vail said, well, you know, the brother that believes that Brother Branham wanted him to have an airplane. He said, the fact is, we may gather together first. If we gather together first, there may be some of these things take place. We don't know. Just have to leave it up to the Lord. See? Then you believe that Jesus Christ is that Word, and that Word is made, that's from questions and answers, and that Word is made flesh among us, fulfilling exactly what He said He would do in this age. Now the first thing happens when we're resurrected. The ones which are living will just still remain. The resurrection will set in first. The resurrection of those that are asleep. There'll be awakening time, and those which are asleep in the dust now will be awakened first, and these corruptible bodies will put on incorruption. And in the rapture and grace of the Lord, and then we'll all get together. And when they begin to get together, then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. These mortal bodies will not see death, but just of a sudden there'll be like a sweep go over us, and you're changed. You're turned back like Abraham was, from an old man to a young man, from an old woman to a young woman. What's this sudden change? And after a while, you're traveling like a thought, and you can see those men who are already resurrected. Oh, what an hour. Then we'll gather with them, and then be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. Yes, the church will all be together, but after the resurrection, and the rapture has set in. Amen. So that tells us there's going to be a great gathering after the resurrection. Now we know there was an order to the first resurrection, and Paul taught us. Jesus was the first fruit, and then the rest would come after that. We also find in Matthew 27, verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, the rocks did rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, comma, and came out of the grave after his resurrection, went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now notice that Jesus cried with a loud voice, the graves opened, and the saints which slept arose, but notice that they did not come forth as resurrected beings until he came forth. So the order of the resurrection is very important. And look, what is the resurrection anyway? It isn't coming back to life again. It isn't a reawakening of the body that was asleep in death. And doesn't it have to do with the life coming back into the body? And if the body was at one time active, then it fell asleep and went in such a sleep that it was constituted as dead. But a resurrection is a coming forth with the same life that it had before it died. Not a human coming forth with a gorilla life or a cat life or a goat life. And not with someone else's life either. But their own life. That was ordained in God before the worlds were framed. And coming back into that body again and raising it up. And there is only one life that will do that, and that is God's life that you had in him before the foundations of the world. Paul said in Ephesians 2 and 1, and you hath he quickened, that means to be made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now I want you to notice that Paul is speaking of the people who had been quickened. Now the statement should be read in context with chapter 1, where Paul speaks of the people who are elect and were in Christ before the foundations of the world, and who have been predestinated to the great plan and purpose of God, who wanted to have children, and these children would come in like fashion as his only begotten Son came. He speaks of a plan calling for a quickening by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which Paul calls the earnest of our inheritance, or our down payment. And then he talks about the body being changed as the adoption, the positioning, the placing into the family. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says, for we know that if our earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God and house of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that we being clothed upon, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which we be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of our spirit. Therefore, Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Now, a down payment, we also call an earnest payment, because it shows that we have made an earnest or sincere commitment to honor the contract. And when we receive a portion of God's Spirit by receiving His Word, we receive in us the sincere pledge by God to finish the work that He began. And the word quicken that Paul uses here in Ephesians 2 is a Greek word which means to restore again to life or to animate or to reanimate. That is why Brother Branham could say from the future home, he says, you wasn't saved on any day. You was always saved. Amen. Jesus just come to redeem that, but you were saved from the beginning because you had eternal life to begin with. Why? Because we were in God. In fact, the word redeem means to buy back, and how could it be redeemed or brought back if it did not own it to begin with? And how could your life and soul be redeemed if you didn't have it to begin with? You see, what we are here then is just a reflection of where we are somewhere else. I believe we're dealing with a dimensional principle that we know so little about, but Brother Branham said those very words. From Questions and Answers, he said, what you are here, get this in mind now, I'm going to close, what you are here is a sign that you are something else somewhere. You've always wanted to be in perfection, you Christians. There is a perfection, and that perfection is not in this life. But every man and woman here that is a Christian, every person that is a Christian here now, is already glorified in the presence of Jesus Christ, and you've got another body. You won't have some other time. You have right now. Right now, there's another body waiting for you if this one should perish. Could you think of that? Study that for just a moment. And from the entombment, he said, our own life is just a pattern. It's just a shadow and not a real thing. It's the negative side. It takes death to develop the picture to put us back into the theophany that we came from. Then in the resurrection, we come in His likeness, a resurrected body. What a beautiful, not only beautiful, but it's the real solemn truth of God's eternal word that will be like Him. Remember, we have a promise. All that He foreknew, He has, past tense, already glorified, that we might be conformed to the image of His firstborn Son in a vast family of brethren. Hallelujah. Romans 8:29. For whom He did already has done. Look at, for whom He did foreknow. That means it's an already a done deal. He has also, that's another done deal, predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, that's a done deal. Then He also called, past tense, it's a done deal. And whom He called, past tense, that's a done deal. Then He also justified, it's a past tense, done deal. And whom He justified, that's past tense, done deal. Then He also glorified, past tense. Therefore, it's finished. It's a done deal. You can't change the outcome no matter how hard you try. Amen. From Daniel 9 and verse 2. And many of them that slept in the dust of the earth shall awaken, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. In other words, this will be at the time of the resurrection, and they that be wise, this speaks of the wise version, shall shine. That means they shall send forth light by warning and teaching, and this teaching shall be as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness, that's right wiseness, as the stars or brothers forever and ever. So you see the whole ministry. Look, if you don't understand the doctrine of Christ, you'll never understand the family of God. You'll never understand that Jesus is your brother, and we actually are brothers, and we're sisters. And God is our Father. From God in Simplicity, he said, God just speaks and the rapture will come. It ain't going out there, and them angels come down with a shovel and shovel out the grave and get out some old dead carcass here. What is it? That was born in sin to begin with. But a new one made in its likeness. If we have this, we shall die again. See, nobody can say the graves will open, the dead shall walk out. That may be true, but not open the way that you say open. That's right. See, it won't be like that. It'll be a secret because he said he would come like a thief in the night. He's already told us this, the rapture, then judgment will strike, sins, plagues, sickness, and everything. The people will cry for death to take them from the judgment. Lord, why is this judgment upon us? You said that there would be a rapture first, and he will say it's already come and you didn't know it. God hiding himself in simplicity, oh my. All right, it's already happened and you knew it not. Why don't believers believe the simple signs of his coming? They're expecting all this thing that's spoken of in the scripture, and the moon is going to go down in the middle of the day, and the sun in the middle of the day, and there's going to be all kinds of things. And why don't people believe the simple signs of His coming. They're expecting all these things that spoke of by the Scripture, and the moon's going to go down in the middle of, and the sun in the middle of the day, and there's going to be all kinds of things. And oh, if we just, I got the notes wrote here, see, to show what them things are, and we'll get it on the breaking of the seals this week anyhow, see. But there it is, just where it's already passed, and you didn't know it, see. See if it is. If the angel of the Lord will break them, the seals, forth to us, remember it's sealed with them seven mysterious thunders. See? Now, why can't people believe the simple simplicity of a humble bunch of people and the voice of the signs of God? Why can't they believe it? Just like it always has been. The true Word of God being made manifest, they're too smart, too educated to believe the simple form of the written Word. They want to put their own interpretation to it. It don't mean this, it don't mean that, it does mean that. Listen. May I say this right quick now? Even the visions that God gives here at the platform, it's so misunderstood. That's the reason you hear me on the tape say what the tapes say, say what the visions say. And from Hebrews chapter 7, Brother Branham said, and he took his dead body from the grave on the first day of the week, and he brought it up into heaven, and he sat it there as a high priest, as a memorial, sitting there perfect forever. And he sent the spirit that he tore out of that body right back down upon the church. And that church will have to have the same spirit that was in that body, or it won't dovetail with it in the resurrection. Those two pieces must come together perfectly together. And if this church isn't perfectly, just exactly the same spirit that was in Christ, you'll never go in the rapture. So my challenge to you is check your spirit. Because the Bible doesn't say your spirit will bear witness with his spirit. It says the spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are sons of God. So he's looking to see your spirit, and if his spirit then bears witness that the spirit in you is his spirit, he's going to take you up. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you are not a man that you could lie. And Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you have come in this day with a shout. And knowing, Father, that if we're in that shout, then when you bring forth the resurrection by your great voice, we'll be ready for it. And we'll see those loved ones that have crossed beyond the river. We'll see them come back. The curtain of time, we'll see them. And then we'll get our change. So, Father, we're asking you to help us to get focused on these things and not on the falling apart of the world. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I sing that song, To Be Like Jesus. Do we have that in the... Be like Jesus. Is that in? Do you have it? Why don't you sing that? I think it's in here. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like him. God bless you all. We'll see you Wednesday night. To be like